All right, we've been in a sermon series entitled The Purpose of Temptation. Thank you for all your comments on that. I've really gotten a lot of comments on that series. And today I was planning on beginning a new sermon series called The Necessity of an Enemy. But this is true again. I woke up. I began work on that sermon. It's already way in the works, the first sermon in that, on Monday. But Tuesday morning, I woke up, and you know, you're in that place where you're kind of half awake, half asleep, and God began just downloading this sermon outline to me for a different message. So I take that seriously, and sometimes I get up and write that down, and that's for a future time, but I really felt that was what I was supposed to preach this week. And so we'll get to the necessity of an enemy. Give you something to look forward to. Today I'm preaching on the power of a problem. The power of a problem. During last week's sermon, I said that between your promise and your promised land, there's conditions to meet. There's devils to defeat. Between your dream and your vision and the fulfillment of it, there's a wilderness of problems. And I showed you through the Bible how there were so many people who had that. And they either passed the test in the wilderness and came out of it, or they stayed stuck there or died in it. But I want to let you know right up front, I'm sorry, but there are no problem-free lives. Nobody has a problem-free life. Every person has problems, every marriage has problems, every family has problems, every business has problems, every church has problems, every government has problems, every nation has problems. No one has a problem-free life. So we should be prepared for problems. I'll give you a Bible verse. Proverbs 27:12, this is in the Living Bible, it says, the sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. Surprise every time. Every time. Whoa, where'd that come from? Now, obviously we're all surprised. But the sensible man, the wise man, is aware and prepared. And could it be that one of your biggest problems, listen close, could it be that one of your biggest problems is the way you view problems? Your problem is not that you have problems. The problem could be the way you think about your problems. Maybe you think you shouldn't have any problems. So when they come, just like I said, you're caught off guard, you're surprised, you don't know what to do, you're unprepared. The wise man is prepared. And one of the keys to preparation, one of the keys to achieving your destiny and your dream is learning the power of a problem and how to deal with problems. In fact, if you want to be a success in anything, you definitely must do this. And one of the big differences between those who succeed and those who don't is the way they view problems. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you today. Successful people don't sit around griping, complaining, moaning, and groaning about problems. Successful people solve problems. They understand the power of a problem. And the first thing I want you to understand, and it's the main thing I'm going to hit on today, solving problems has the power of promotion. Solving problems can promote you in life. In business, in school, in whatever area you're in. Unsuccessful people always try to avoid problems and don't actually see any power in them. But I want to let you know, I wasn't one of those guys who just grew up in church. I did grow up in church. And go to Bible school immediately and go into ministry immediately. I didn't do that. And so I had a job. I had different jobs. And I had careers before I got into ministry. So I understand business and how to succeed in business. And I know what it's like to work your way up in a company. And I worked my way up from a store clerk to being the manager of the largest Christian store in the world. Some of y'all used to shop there years ago, the Living Vine in Irving. Then I became the district manager for the largest Christian retailer in the world. That's the Family Christian Stores. And then a regional training manager. And I hired and trained every manager west of the Mississippi. And when I trained managers, it was interesting for me to note the different attitude my trainees had when it comes to the store they would manage first. Because when all these people signed up for this training program, they did not know where they would end up as a store manager. They had to sign this contract. I'm going to go through this training. I'm going to work for you, but I don't know where I'm going to be yet. I could be in Washington State. I could be in Washington, D.C. I could be in California. I could be in Michigan. I could be in Florida. Don't know. It was always interesting to me that God got them somewhere that they would actually wanted to be or needed to be, but that was cool. But one of the things I noticed is their attitude about not where they went, but the store they got. Some wanted, I want a well-run store that's had a great manager that has very few problems. But the ones who wanted to move up in the company, they said, I want a store that's doing bad. I want a store that's not running well. I want a store that has lots of problems. I want a store in Katy, Texas that can't keep a staff. Jose's doing the same job I used to do, so I've been praying for him on that. Somebody that wants to get ahead, if they got in there, got in that store, and turned it around, they're going to get noticed. If you go in a rail-run store that had a great manager, chances are you just might mess it up. And all the best you can do is keep it going well. But to go into a mess and turn it around, these guys always wanted problem stores because they knew if they could turn that store around, they would get noticed and they would get promoted. Listen, the ability to solve problems is a springboard to success. Now, in the Bible, there's a man named Daniel. There's a whole book called Daniel. You should read it sometime. And it tells how a king named Nebuchadnezzar came from Babylon and defeated Israel because they had always turned from God. And God warned them and warned them and warned them. Eventually, he defeated Israel and took some of them back captive to Babylon. And some became his servants. And one of those was a man named Daniel. And later, the king had this dream that really troubled him. He summoned all his wise counselors together and said, I need somebody to interpret this dream for me. And oh, by the way, I forgot what the dream was. And oh, the second, by the way, if you can't tell me what the dream was and interpret it for me correctly, I'm going to kill you. Read it in your Bible. So everybody said, whoa, king, this is impossible. There's nobody that can do this. You're asking us to do something that's impossible. You don't even know your dream, and you want us to tell you your dream and then interpret it. But somebody remembered Daniel. And Daniel had a reputation. In fact, something like this also happened again later with Nebuchadnezzar's son in Daniel 5. And here's the reputation that Daniel had, and I loved it. Daniel 5:12, Daniel was found to have an excellent spirit. Isn't that good? I love that. Knowledge and understanding, and also to the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Wouldn't that be a great reputation to have? And that guy's wise. That guy's excellent. That woman, man, she can solve some problems. So Daniel began to pray. And God revealed to Daniel the dream that the king had had and the interpretation. And let me just tell you right now, prayer is the huge key to solving problems. Prayer is a huge key to solving problems. And so is praise. In Daniel 2:23, Daniel said, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, who's given me wisdom, for you have made known to us the solution to the king's problem. So Daniel gave the answer to the king. He said, okay, king. Here was your dream. Here's the interpretation. And Daniel 2:48 says, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. In other words, solving a problem has the power of promotion. Daniel went from being a servant to being a ruler by solving a problem. The very same thing happened to Joseph, if you know his story. He went from prison to the palace in one day. How? He solved a problem. And solving a problem will do the same thing for you. Problem solvers are the ones who get the promotions, the bonuses, and the raises. Now listen, as someone who's been a leader for most of my life, I can assure you there's two things that will always get you noticed at work. I'm trying to help you in a very practical way today. Two things that will always get you noticed at work. Bosses notice if you're either a problem solver or a problem causer. Both those things get you noticed. One of those things gets you promoted. When I was a store manager, there were some employees that no matter what we did, no matter what, they always griped, they always complained, they constantly resisted change. Listen, nobody wants to be around negative, pessimistic people with bad attitudes. This is at home, this is in your marriage, this is at school, this is at work. If you're constantly negative, constantly pessimistic, constantly pointing out problems and things that it'll never work. And I'm telling you, bosses hate spending their time refereeing personal problems between people. It'll drain you dry quick. And believe me, if you want to get noticed at work, you go ahead and be negative and cause problems with everybody. That will get you noticed, and that will get you fired. So if you have a lousy attitude at work, do yourself a favor and do your company a favor and either change your attitude or change jobs where you can find some joy in your work. Employers, bosses, you need to play this sermon for everybody who works for you. I'm telling you, it will help you out. Listen to me. Anybody can point out problems. Some people have the gift of that. But those who succeed offer solutions, solve problems. I learned that the hard way when I was a district manager at Family Christian Stores. I had a friend of mine who became my boss, and he was the regional manager. And I called him with a problem. I said, I need to know what to do. And here's what he said to me. Hold on. That's what I pay you for. You figure out what to do. And if you're not sure, come to me with some potential solutions and then call me and I'll help you sort them out. But don't just come to me with problems. I learned a big lesson that day. Don't just come to your husband, your spouse, your work, your school. Don't just come with problems. Bring some potential solutions. So, and I'm not saying, here's what you ought to do. I'm saying, here's some possibilities. Let's consider this. Let's pray about that. And listen, I've had the blessing of being around a lot of successful people in my life, and I know that one of the reasons they're successful is they view problems differently than other people. They usually realize that problems, that opportunities show up as problems. And you need to see a problem as an opportunity. It's an opportunity to improve. It's an opportunity to improve yourself or others around you. It's an opportunity for you to move ahead in life. Opportunity shows up as promised, as problems. Thomas Edison was a success because he solved the problem of darkness by inventing the light bulb. Apart from him, you know, we'd be sitting in a dark room or just have a bunch of torches or candles in here. Henry Ford was a success because he solved the problem, the common man's need for transportation. He solved the problem by coming up with a way of producing cars cheaply. And I could go on and on and on with people who saw opportunities and solved problems. And successful people see problems as opportunities, not obstacles. Do you see a problem as an obstacle? We'll never get through this. We'll never make it. We'll never get past this. Or is this an opportunity for us to grow and to learn? Amen. You got to get this today. Here, get this today. All jobs, this can help you. Even if you're retired, you got friends and family you can teach this to. All jobs have one thing in common. Their purpose is to solve problems. It usually goes like this. Somebody starts a business. When they start that business, it's usually just them. They do all the work. They do the work, they do the bookkeeping, they do everything. As business grows, it presents a problem. There's too much to do alone. So they solve that problem. How do they solve that problem? By hiring somebody to help them out. That person solves their problem until they grow some more. And they have to hire more people. Please get this inside of you. The only reason you have a job is because somebody had a problem and you were the solution. And the greater and more complex the problems, the greater the demand on you, and the higher the income for people that solve them. Believe me, I've worked my way up through companies. I dealt with, when I worked on the floor in retail, I dealt with problem customers. And I thought, you know, those execs, they don't really understand what it's like to do this. But as I moved up, you just have different customers, different problems, and they become higher level, and they involve more people, and they involve more money. So if you can't handle low-level problems, you'll never be considered to handle the high-level problems. You got to be faithful in the small things to be given more. Yeah, that's true. Yet amazingly, some people routinely gripe and complain all day long about the problems they have at work. They never stop to think that if there were not problems to be resolved, they would be out of a job. Man, if everybody kept this in mind, it would change our workplace. It would be a much more pleasant place to work. But if you're one of those people who is sitting around with other employees just griping about your customers, griping about your boss, griping about the problems at work, stop it. Start praising God for problem customers. For without those customers, without them, you would not even have a job. I'm calling you to a higher place today. I'm calling you to a higher level of thinking today. I'm calling you to use the power of problems to become a problem solver. I want you to be teachers. Teachers, you say, give me the problem students rather than just the honor roll students. Policemen who say, give me the area with the most crime, not the low crime. Salesmen who say, give me the tough accounts, not just the easy sales. Missionaries who say, let me go where the gospel has never been preached before. Employees who say, give me the tough job that nobody else wants. I'm telling you, this just came to my mind, but I've done this so many times. If you want to get ahead at work, go to your boss and say, is there something, how can I help? Is there something I can do that would get something off of your plate? Something I can take off you? Something I can help you with? Something I can do that? When they see that you're there to help them succeed, to help the company succeed, you're willing to take on more. I've had so many people come to me and say, well, you know, this is not in the church, but when I was in the world as a manager, they would say, man, if you would pay me more, I'll really show you what I can do. Like, man, you got it exactly backwards. You show me what you can do. Then I'll consider paying you more. If you're sitting back waiting on more money to really give them your best, I'm telling you, the money's not coming. God's calling you to go beyond that and to give your best now in every area of life. You may be in situations that's full of problems, but don't expect promotion. Don't expect to move ahead in life if all you do is complain about it. In every area of life, don't be the problem. Be a problem solver. Don't be a problem causer. Be a problem solver. Solving problems will promote you. Now, here's some other reasons that problems are powerful. Number two, a problem has the power to reveal what you know. Sometimes problems are easy and you know what to do. Oh, yeah, you know, all you need to do is this, boom, that's it. Sometimes they stump you. So they reveal to you, this is an area you need to grow. This is an area you need to learn. Now listen to me real closely right here. Knowing the right answer is not the only requirement to solving the problem. I remember when I was in elementary school, up in the upper grades, fifth or sixth grade, something like that, I made this incredible discovery one day in my math book, the answers were in the back of the book. Any of y'all made that discovery? I don't even know if that happens anymore. Did anybody? Come on, am I the only one? Yeah, all right. All I had to do was look in the back and write down the answer. So that day I went home and much of my parents' surprise, immediately did my homework and did it very quickly. You did all that math? Oh, I did it all. Showed it to them. I turned my homework in. There I am, Joey Oakley. And I got a big, fat zero. And the teacher wrote on there, show your work. I had the answers. I had the right answers. But I had no work to show. I did not know how to solve the problem. Listen to me very closely. I knew the answers, but I didn't know how to solve the problem. I didn't know how to work the problem. She wanted me to know, if I could work through that problem and solve it. So it is with so many Christians. They want easy answers from the book, but they don't want to do the hard work of solving the problems. They want an answer without the process. They want a good grade without ever having to do the hard work of studying. They want a good marriage without doing the hard work of communicating and forgiving and compromising. They want a good church without ever doing any hard work of serving. They want good health without ever having to do the hard work of exercise. And when problems arise, all they want to do is pray a prayer and expect everything to change without having to go through any process of change. They don't understand the power of problems. Because problem, number three, has a power to reveal where you need to grow. You need to grow. Now listen, Pastor Deb and I have been involved in a lot of counseling over our lives. We've received it and we've given a lot. And what we discovered in counseling is that most people want change to happen. But they don't want to do the hard work of changing. They go to counseling as a couple for their spouse. See? They want changes to happen, they just don't want to change. They want their spouse to change. Or they want the counselor, give me an easy answer from the book where I don't have to work through anything. Listen to me. They don't want to go through the pain and the hard work of working through the issues. Problems serve a purpose here to reveal where you need to grow. And yes, we do need prayer. And yes, we do need wisdom from other people. Yes, sometimes there are instant changes. But that's not most of the time the case. God is usually saying, show your work. Show your work. Yes, pray in faith. But faith without works is dead. Did you hear me? I just want to believe that everything will change. Faith without works is dead. Problems show you where you need to do some work, where you need to grow, where you need to change. And then a problem has the power to reveal when you quit. Let me let you in on a secret. I told you I've been around a lot of successful people in my life. I used to be in the music business, and there was a day I knew everybody in the Christian music business. I've been around successful business people, pastors, leaders. They don't necessarily have the most talent or ability. It's really fascinating to be around them. And in fact, if you're around successful people, you'll be fascinated by how ordinary they are. And most of the time, what separates successful people from everyone else is they're the ones who are still going when everybody else has quit. Successful people are not necessarily the smartest people. In fact, Albert Einstein once said, it's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with problems longer. Successful people don't have less problems. They just persevere through their problems. They work through their problems. They pray through their problems. They solve their problems. Too many of us give up way too easy and way too soon. In standardized math tests, Japanese children consistently score higher than American. This is fascinating. Listen to this. And some researchers thought, well, it's just because they're naturally better at math, but they discovered it was more about effort than ability. They gave students a difficult problem that none of them would be able to solve. They knew they would not be able to solve the problem. They weren't interested in whether or not they could solve the problem. They wanted to see how long they would try before they gave up. American children lasted on average 9.47 minutes. The Japanese children lasted 13.93 minutes. In fact, so the Japanese children tried 47% longer. That's why they scored higher on math exams. It wasn't intelligence, it was persistence. And that's what they concluded. It wasn't about intelligence quotient or IQ, it was PQ, persistent quotient. And it shows us that in whatever we're in life, whether it's math, whether it's a school subject, whether it's athletics, whether it's business, whether it's music, whether it's ministry, there are no shortcuts, there are no substitutes for persistence. Persistence is required to master anything. So what's your persistence quotient? You don't know. Well, your problems show you. Give my wife a remote for any electronic thing, and she has a persistence quotient of about 3 seconds. No. Here, you do it. Okay, sometimes I have to sit there and figure it out, but I persist until I figure it out. What's your persistence quotient? There are other things where she persists way longer than me. Everybody has it, but how many times did you not get to the answer? Listen, how many times did you not get to the answer because you quit too soon? Because you thought, this is too hard. This is too difficult. I could never do this. Jesus talked about this in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, 20 and 21. He said, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message, immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long, they fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Way too many people fall away or give up when they face hard problems. Instead, we've got to do what Galatians 6, 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if, this is one of those ifs, remember I told you there's ifs in the Bible, if we don't give up, a problem shows you how long you're going to persist, and if you keep quitting way up front, you need to learn to develop some persistence. Lastly, a problem has the power to reveal whom you trust. This is a big one. I'm going to tell you something right now. God is never your problem. God is never your problem. And so many people, when they get through in tough times and they get in problem times, they turn against God because of the problems they're going through. But I'm here to tell you, if you turn against God, if you turn on God, you're turning against the only one that can really help solve your problems. And so when we're in these tough times, it shows us who we trust. Sometimes we're just trusting in ourselves or other people. Hey, it's good to get wise counsel, but here's an advantage we have as Christians. God has the answer to every single problem. And we need to learn to tap into God's problem-solving ability like Daniel did, like Joseph did. How do we do that? By searching his word, by praying and asking him, by developing hearing ears to hear him and do what he tells us. But it starts believing that he has the answer. Colossians 2:6 in the Living Bible says, and now just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Every day has problems of its own, and every day we can trust God to help us through those problems, to help solve those problems. Listen, we might be like those at the wedding celebration in the New Testament that ran out of wine. What did Mary do? She went to Jesus, and she asked him to solve the problem. She knew. She totally trusted him. She turned to the servants in John 2:5 and says, whatever he says to you, you do it. She totally trusted Jesus to fix the problem. There comes a time in every life we run out of wine. We come to the end of our resources. We can't go on in our own strength. But God, what if we prayed and God just gave us a, hey, pour some water in that pot over there. I'll create an answer to your problem. What if God gives you a solution? You're like the disciples out fishing all night, couldn't catch anything. God says, just cast your net on that side. And they say, well, we already cast it over there. No, just do it, I'm telling you. Whatever he says, do it. The point is, God has answers. We've got problems. God has answers. Empty nets are a problem to us, but to the one who created all fish in the sea, there's not a problem. running out of wine at a wedding is a problem to us. But the one who creates wine out of water, that's no problem. Having no food to feed 5,000 people is a problem to us. But to the one who feeds 5,000 with five loaves and two fish, it's no problem. Being in a marriage that's loveless is a problem to us. But to the one who sheds abroad his love by the Holy Spirit, it's not a problem. Having a checkbook that is empty is a problem to us. But to the one who made a family in the Bible, made their last meal stretch for months, it's no problem for God. Problems are not a problem for God. And listen to this. God, consider this as I close. God is in the promotion business, and he may have strategically positioned you in a problem-filled situation to give you the opportunity to shine, to give you the opportunity to tap into his power. Handle it correctly. Trust in him. Pray to him. Solve the problem, and it may result in promotion. God wants you to begin to see problems as possibilities, to see complications as a challenge, to see adversity as an advantage, to see opposition as an opportunity. God wants you to see trouble as your time to shine, not a time to whine. He wants you to see crisis as an opportunity to overcome. He wants you to understand that with his help, problems have the power to promote you, to change you, to show you where you need to change, to grow you, to help you grow in your faith and in every single area of your life. So begin to change your outlook and see God working in your problems, working through your problems, and working them all for your good. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So what's God saying to you today? First of all, if you've never given your heart and life to Christ, our prayer team is going to be down here today. And if you can, come down and give your heart to Jesus. If you're watching online, you can just put my decision in the comments and we'll get a hold of you. Also, if you have a prayer request, put that in the comments. And if you need prayer today for anything, we'll have people here to pray with you, to pray for any situation you may have. Thank you for being here today. What an awesome time we had. I love you with all my heart. We're going to be dismissed with one more song.